How are our mics? Do you need me to move mine or?
No, you guys actually sound
good. We're good?
Okay.
You know, it's funny that you should say that because before we get into the same questions I've been asking everybody else.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to comment on and have you guys comment on is that, you know, it's been 6 years since I first met you guys. We met very briefly at the Sacred Geometry Conference in Seville.
Was that That's 6 years right. ago? That, How did that, that happen? Wow. Wow.
Wow, that was, yeah, I remember that.
You guys have survived in doing what you're doing, you know, in a place and a space that people are just looking for reasons to not support people that make the kind of statements that you guys have made. And I saw you back then, and then I saw you a couple of years ago when we did that other interview.
Yeah.
Where I really actually got to know you a little bit,
uh-huh.
and I was like, wow, you know, these people they're actually for real. And the fact that you, and then I, at this event, you know, it's like you've become the rock stars of the new age, practically. and I've seen this evolve. And,
yeah.
And see, the thing that really, really makes me very proud of both of you is that the only way you could pull this off is in being genuine.
You're right.
You can't fake your way to where you're at.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly right, Ron. I mean, that's right on the money.
Now, are you the groupie or am I?
You're my groupie, baby, and I'm yours. No, you're absolutely right. This is our life. I mean, this is our 24/7, 365 life. I mean, we do live it. Everything we have goes back to it. I mean, literally everything. So, yeah.
So, you know, just for me to you, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you to us all.
Yeah,
you know, you're still rocking it. You're
still
doing what
your
you
work,
do.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't let go either, and
well,
it's
you know,
important.
That all started with a vision to come to Sedona and take advantage of the fact that it's this conscious mecca,
right?
And become the largest producer of conscious media on the planet, which I have done.
Yeah,
has done more than me as far as how many products I put out
and done it
and how
well.
Much stuff that we produce.
Yeah,
and we're just getting started.
Isn't that exciting?
It's really starting to get its second wind and hit the traction to where before it was like. You know, oh, let's make the power of crystals, and we slap this thing out and spend $500 to make it, and it's decent, but it's not great.
Right.
As far as production quality, people love the content, but now we're actually at the point where we can spend some time on these films, and they're getting better and better. And
awesome.
Building this whole organization of people to make more and more, and you know, mainstream TV is the next thing that we're going to conquer.
And we're together going to conquer them. I know we are.
Mm-hmm.
I know
Absolutely.
It. Yeah.
So, okay.
Excuse
let's
me.
Talk about this particular event.
Okay.
The energy that it created and what that means and how it makes you guys feel.
Now, where do you want us to look?
Looking
at you. Okay, I'm sorry. Are you starting?
I'm ignoring the command. Well, as we sit here today, we're delighting in the energy of the 2012 Quantum Leap event.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly, it has been a gift that we got to unwrap together this
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know how the package would really be. All we could do is send out the invitation to the people, to the presenters, to the exhibitors, all those who felt this harmonic song in their heart that we were at a new time on our planet. We're at a time where people are listening to the love that is inside them and taking action around that as opposed to just talking about it, as opposed to just looking after their own wallet or their, you know, it's about looking after the collective. It's about knowing that we're all part of something that is emerging. And this weekend was a celebration of that.
You know, this weekend was really a miracle. It really
yes.
was. And the reason I share that it was a miracle is because it's, you know, it's not like one day Sri and I woke up and went, oh, let's do a conference. That was not what happened, I can assure you. And as a matter of fact, it was a lot less than that. What it was an inspiration from the archangelic realm that said, your world is at a moment where people are ready and there needs to be an opportunity in early 2009. That was about the only directive we had, was that it had to be the first quarter of 2009, and that it had to begin on a day that would inspire the breaking of paradigms. So that's why we picked Friday the 13th. And it was a synergistic blessing for everybody to show up and to recognize that we are at a moment where it's not about any one person, it's about all of us. And it was exciting.
Now, there's a lot of people out there living in this realm that we Mm-hmm. And there's so many things happening, so much that people are concerned about. There's the economy and the long, the more ongoing problems facing humanity.
Yeah.
And there are a large element of people that are just feeling completely disempowered. They're saying, there's nothing I can do. It's too big. The government's too big. The problems are too big. The conspiracy's too big. Everything's just too big, and I'm just me. And the underlying theme of a lot of the talks that we're doing is something I want to carry through in this final video, is how much it truly does start with the individual. and so if you had a chance to say to everybody that is struggling with those kind of issues in their hearts right now, to empower the individual, to discover their power, claim their power, and use their power, that's what I want you guys to do right now with the next answer to that question.
Cool. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to? Because I'm ready to jump.
Are you? Well, then let me clear my throat.
Okay. Does that mean I'm jumping or you're not?
No, it just means I need to clear my throat.
Sometimes is.
Yeah, isn't it true? The gift, the absolute gift of this moment in history is that it will force everyone to a point where they must make a decision. And sometimes when we get to a point where we need to make a decision is when it looks the weirdest or the darkest or the craziest or the most chaotic. And the key is that whatever your breaking point is, and by breaking point, I mean the breaking point that will bring you to a point of clarity and decision, it's upon you right now. It is upon us all right now. And so that brings someone to that point of, I'm just me. I'm just a me. How can I do anything that will impact this planet? And the reality is that every moment, every being who decides to make a choice stands in their power. You begin to free others to do the same just by your presence. And so you begin by just being you and having mercy on yourself that you've gotten to this point. Once you get here, once you get to the point of recognizing that you, in your presence, will free others to do the same, then what happens is that not only do you walk into a room and others go, wow, I feel good around that person, right? So it frees them to say, hey, I feel good around you. Help me feel good around me, mm-hmm. right? It frees them to do that. But the second thing it does is that it empowers your attractive properties to start manifesting more in your life, more synergy, more commonality, new contacts. You might even have new job careers or things coming around you that you never expected because you weren't open to seeing those possibilities before. And so it's an extraordinary moment in history because it is freeing people, even though sometimes it has to come through adversity, to truly make a difference through their presence. Because your words will mean nothing in a world that's in chaos. Only your presence can be heard among the din or the chatter.
That's true. In my life, what I found is what brought me to my knees actually led me to my feet. That from that point, I could stand up. Yeah. From that point, I found my strength. Many people are challenged in their home mortgages. The economy has shifted. Things are changing on our planet. Mm. And it's a call to find your true home. Because our true home is not in the outer world. That's a place we hang out. We visit. Our true home is inside our own hearts. It's in the recognition of our eternal beingness. Mm-hmm. And so while we can sympathize with the dilemma the world's in, it's more important to look for the gift that the world is offering to us. It's a homecoming. We're at a time where we're coming home to what is essential, the human spirit, our ascended love, our ability to connect with our divine nature and see that in each other. And so sometimes through the adversarial conditions, so it may seem, we discover there's a lot of light. There is a lot of love out there. And so we invite each person to really take that deep breath and recognize that now is an important time. And it's time to choose. Are you ready to step into that which you really are? Or do you want to kind of hang out in the drama of Earth School, whatever you want to call normal living, and let it whipsaw you? Mm-hmm. Because it will whipsaw you during this transition.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a fun question.
Hold on, is my bindi all right? I don't know why I just said pay attention to my bindi. Is it okay?
I'm curious about something. If it slanted a little bit, would it bend?
That means 5 minutes have gone by.
It's a bendy bindi. It's a BB.
This is a fun question, and I'll ask it right now because I just felt like it.
Good reason.
Our place here on the planet, are we evolving souls here to learn or evolved souls here on vacation?
We're both. We're absolutely both. That's a great question. And the reason I love that question is because you know how people talk about certain cities as being melting pots? You know, like New York's a melting pot, LA's a melting pot. Planet Earth is a melting pot. We are the ultimate melting pot. And when we can allow ourselves to recognize that, it gets a lot more fun. It also helps us have more patience with our brethren. Because everyone here is our brethren in one way or another. And when we have the patience to recognize that, you're a first-timer. Welcome to Earth, right? And so you understand what's happening there. It really gives you perspective. Likewise, in the eyes of children, I see the most ancient masters coming onto the planet right now. And I just want to be on my knees and say, thank you. Thank you for showing up at this moment in history. And then there's those that you absolutely know are not of even the same genetic background we are. And they are in body. And so when you free yourself to be in the ultimate melting pot, it starts to make sense. And you learn to navigate a galactic community that frees all souls into their highest evolution.
And I believe that every being here is actually a master. And some of them are practicing their mastery of being in form. Mm-hmm. And so what may look a little awkward, or that they're kind of learning the ropes, so to speak, on how to get along. Well, there's still a master in there who is having this earth playground come as their final step.
Yeah.
They came here to experience what we all came to experience, and that's the joy and the challenge of being in this zone of friction and delight.
Yeah.
We're really in an amazing dualistic playground. And so as we learn to master that, we begin to see the beyond the duality into the oneness that is sustaining the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun.
Totally.
I often joke with people, I remember my last incarnation was definitely ethereal. And I think I came here because I heard about the sex.
I wouldn't doubt it. Why? I always say I came here to do this. You came because you wanted to feel. Absolutely. I get it.
Since you mentioned the children, that's
yes.
one of the questions that I've been asking. The children that are coming up today that have this amazing ingrained knowledge and ability to share it. Next logical evolution of humanity, or assisted by greater powers to be a leap in evolution of humanity?
Well, once again, both. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely both. We are we're at a tipping point. You know, we're at this kind of place on the teeter-totter where we, the collective that's in body on the planet right now, is actually making the choice as to whether or not we're going to continue on this planet and as to whether or not this planet will have what she needs to sustain us to stay on this planet. So that is why the answer is both, because what we have right now are a lot of beings who are taking form saying, okay, let me help them remember, you know, let me come into a little body and go, hello, and help wake us up. And simultaneously, you have the ones who are preparing to lead the way should we collectively say, okay, we are going to tip. We are going to let this continue. Because for every time we have had an expansion of density, you know, we've been expanding through density for a long, long, long time, and not all of our collective expressions of density were on this planet. This is the third great experiment, so to speak, planet Earth. Now, planet Earth has had many great experiments, but I'm talking about in a collective consciousness of expansion, this is the third big one. What are we going to do with it? Are we ready to say, okay, we're going to culminate and go again somewhere else? Or are we ready to say we're ready to let this one really have its harvest? Goodness knows we have planted the seeds. Are we really going to walk away and let it all rot on the field? That's where we're at. And that's what these children are doing. They're preparing the future for those that are saying, okay, you know, if the collective says, okay, we're going to continue, then we're going to be here to make sure we continue in a way that will sustain itself. And then there are the ones that are here that are saying, we're going to help you wake up so that you can make a choice from a place of an empowered understanding.
And, you know, each being is their own democracy.
So it's true.
It's not about a majority rules kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yet, from the outside, if there were such a place, looking at it, it would seem that there was an alignment that occurs that brings a mass consensus to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that alignment is the remembrance of the illuminated being that you are. The more people that remember, the more they come together in an aligned fashion and co-create together because they're on the same vibrational level. And so everyone gets what they want. And if they want to simply continue in the trauma drama of an Earth School kind of environment, that gift is available.
Yeah.
And if they want to create a more ascended Earth, that gift is available. And if they'd like to travel to a totally new place, that too is available.
You guys are anticipating a lot of questions in the body of your answer, so that always tells me an interview is going like it should. So the next thing is the power of the collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, let me preface that with,
pardon me.
As we look right now at the world and at some of the mindsets that we're seeing so much positive change everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mayan elders, and you guys know this because you're down there, coming out of the woods in the forests.
Yep.
Talking about quantum physics, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally mind-blowing.
It's awesome.
And but at the same time, in some of the same regions of the world, I mean, there's ruthless people. There's ruthless people, the FARCs in Central America, the Toros in Mexico.
Yep.
So a lot of people would say, you know, well, I can change myself, and I can change my circle of friends, and I can change this and that, but what can we do about them? And so, you know, the answer to that is I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Well, the first place I go is I'm always reminded of Gandhi. And, you know, I love how when Gandhi first met with the British, they looked him straight in the eye and said, well, what do you expect us to just leave? And Gandhi sat there and went, yes, I do. and eventually, that's what happened. And the reason it happened was because he was so committed to the presence of his truth that he inspired millions to the presence of their truth. And when we are inspired in the presence of our truth, and I'm not saying it's easy, it's not easy, and it's not a Pollyanna type approach, but when we hold in the presence of our truth and let nothing take that away from us, eventually the structures that are not based in truth will fall. Now, the how they fall is a unique aspect of being on the planet. However, the collective consciousness is right about here, meaning we still have a bigger fear chunk than we have a non-fear chunk. But the good news is we used to be this far apart. So now that we're this close, this kind of rise is starting, it's starting to push it a little bit. So what you'll find is that as the empowerment of positive energy becomes more socially acceptable, because sadly that's what has to happen. It has to become socially acceptable to be positive. Right now it's socially acceptable to be fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so as it becomes socially acceptable to become positive, those that are in the fear base will initially flip to the positive only because they think it's profitable. And it doesn't matter how they get there, they'll get there. And eventually, once they flip over there, they'll start going, oh, wow, there's more here than just the old paradigm. And so, yeah, it's going to be very much the synergistic float. And anybody who tries to tell you how that's going to happen is probably deluding themselves, because it's an organic process. No one can write this book right now, because we're all writing it together. It goes back to, this is why the power of the individual consciousness is so important. You've got to hold on to your truth. You need to become so filled with the release of doubt that you trust your movements are guided by the divine. You trust that everything that happens around you was supposed to happen, no matter how bleak it looks like, no matter how affrontive or confrontive. You recognize, okay, I'm having these experiences for a greater opening that I have called forth in my life. Show me the gift. Show me the gift. Show me the gift. I trust the divine flowing through me. And the more that you can anchor that self-trust, the freer our world becomes, and the faster this, instead of this kind of action, we become this kind of action. And we're very, very close. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
And you know, one of the things I smile about is that there's no last minute. We tend to create this artificial sense of urgency.
Yeah.
That we're almost there. We need to hurry up and get on with it. And what that is, actually, is that we're straddling energetic timelines. We're straddling the zone of being in the old paradigm while sensing, feeling, knowing the new paradigm, mm-hmm. which has a whole different flow and feeling to it. It's more spacious. And so the last minute isn't the issue. What is the issue is once you know who you are, mm-hmm. once you awaken to the truth that you are love, to hesitate is tragic. Once the awakening happens and begins to niggle and nuggle around your being, we must incorporate that into action in the world. And that's what creates the alignment that the mass consciousness, the collective, will sense and feel. We'll look around and we're going to see that validation in other beings that, oh, you're doing it too. Oh, you're doing it too. And it isn't about a behavior. It's about the way we engage our world.
Absolutely.
It's about our energy orientation to what is. And that's the magic.
So, that you know, that's something we could elaborate on just a little bit, is the fact that we take action in the physical world mm-hmm. as individuals and as groups, mm-hmm. but there is a huge energetic reaction to that action happening in a different realm.
Absolutely.
That has its own power and its own ability to mm-hmm. affect change. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people don't take that into consideration when they ask the question that I just asked. It's like,
you're right.
How do we change the minds of these people? Well, you do it with this collective energy building its own momentum and coming back in, you know, working on other levels.
Absolutely.
So maybe go with that for just a couple of paragraphs.
Well, you know what's wonderful is the way I like to talk about this or share this is that, you know, when you're growing up, right? You're growing up and you're living in your mom and dad's house and they have their rules, right? You've got to be in by a certain time and you follow those rules, but the more you grow up, the more antsy you get. And it's like, oh, my own place, you know, I don't want to come in at 10 anymore. And what happens is one day you finally leave the house. Now, for most of us, we leave on our own free will and say, you know, I need to go. And for some of us, we need to be drop kicked. Right? It's like, okay, you're 30 years old, get out of the house. So the key is we're all being collectively invited now out of the house, meaning our beloved planet has been caretaking us way longer. We have way overstayed our welcome as far as taking from her. You know, we've been living off our parents for a long time. And we're being invited now to grow up. And a sign that we have grown up is when we stop begging the universe and we start contributing to the universe. Meaning, talk about prayer. Are you petitioning in your prayer or are you offering gratitude and acknowledgement in your prayer? If you're still petitioning in your prayer, then what you're saying is, I don't trust myself, so please, dear God, help me. Right? But if your prayer is sent from a planetary thought through a planetary field, up into a cosmic consciousness that says, this thought carries with it divine gratitude and higher love to the universe, then you're sending signals to the cosmic consciousness that says, we've arrived, we're mature, we're ready to give back to our mother as we are ready to reconnect with our father, the earthly mother, the Heavenly Father. These stereotypes or myths or however you want to say it have been around forever. And the reality is, this is what we're sharing, is that we're at that moment where we're ready to get our own apartment. We're ready to have our own house. And in order for the universe to understand that, we need to be the ones to send the signal that says we've grown up. We're ready. We're ready to be galactic citizens because we have become the citizen of our own soul. We understand harmony and community. And for those of us that are ready to awaken to that greater process, there is an abundant flow. It becomes very two-way. It becomes very two-way. And for those of us that still need to petition, then it's still a one-way, and it's okay. But one day, your mom is going to kick you out of the house. And one day, you will have to stand on your own. And the question is, how do you want to do that? How do you want that to look? Because we've arrived at that moment. And little by little, person by person, we're making that reconnection to the cosmic consciousness. Hey, gorgeous.
I had something to say, and I just vacated.
It's because you love me.
Yeah. What was the question?
You're talking about the power of the energetic power of the collective consciousness operating.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay. Yes, I remember what I wanted to share.
You can just say what she said.
What she said. You know, what we learn as we travel from this field of density, as we call Earth School, that the environment and our consciousness have gone through a densification process, a compression, you might say, and then this whole planet is cloaked. Well, as we return to a more light-based recognition and actually become the light that we are, we'll discover an energetic principle, mm-hmm. and that is light plus light is expansion. Light added to light expands the energy. What happens when light is added to darkness? The darkness separates. And so you were asking a bit about the collective and reaction. It's really a matter of which way the light is being expressed, because when you're greeting light person to light person, light worker to light worker, there's an expansion of love. Mm-hmm. And when we offer our light to those who are not ready to receive it, they run into their shadows. Mm-hmm. And that's where reactivity comes. Reactivity is an unwillingness to stand in presence and love to that which is presented. That's all it is. It's just an unwillingness. And so there's nothing you can do other than smile and say, I'm here. And sooner or later, the reactivity begins to dissolve because the other energy or the other party resides in their light. And they say, well, maybe I can show up with you. Maybe I do trust myself enough to be present with you. And that's when miracles happen.
Abundantly. I mean, beyond the brain.
Very cool. So the next thing, yeah, again, right into the next question. And now let's talk just a little bit about the mechanics of manifestation.
Okay.
I watched The Secret, and one of my favorite jokes that I made up is I'm waiting to see a newspaper article that says, man found dead in an imaginary apartment, clutching imaginary steering wheel.
Right.
Because he just thought he could sit in his chair and make it happen. So manifestation, obviously, especially the more we delve into it, mm-hmm. we know that it does work.
Absolutely.
But we also know that there's elements that come from the ethereal,
yep.
the action in the physical world. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Take it, babe. Yeah, he does this one really well.
I do?
Yeah, you do. Well, I mean, I'll go ahead.
You guys, you need questions.
You are. You're asking us great questions.
Well, you know, when we look at manifestation, it's important to remember you're already doing it.
Exactly.
You're already doing it. You are the consummate co-creator. You created this wondrous body. You created this family of origin that you were born into. You organized the contracts with everyone in your life so that you could use those energetic relationships to evolve yourself in a way that you wanted to create. So let's step back from the camera a little bit and not be in the shadow boxing level of manifestation, because many people think, oh, here I am, I'm a victim of my life and I just want a shiny red Cadillac. You know, just give me the Cadillac and all will be well. And that's kind of, that's downstream. Let's back up and say, who are you really? And why did you create this perceived lack? Because in the perception and belief in lack, we create a vacuum. We create this energy that needs, on its own right, to call forth a resource from inside.
Yeah.
So it's a game you're playing with yourself to call out your true trust in the universe, your true trust in your co-creative power, to say, I'm going to show myself once again how to do this.
Well, and that's really the key, is that with the law of attraction, with any manifest creation, with any alchemical transition, right, the key is congruency. That's the real, I don't want to use the word secret, so let's just say it's the golden key that will go into the lock that will do it for you, okay? And the reason I'm sharing this is you can spend all day long talking in affirmation. And notice I use the word talking very selectively here. I am wealthy now, right? Or I am, you know, I claim abundance now. Whatever that is, it's talk, it's words. And then you run around talking to your friends, I'm so broke, I have no money. And then you grab your affirmation, I am abundant now. There's no congruency. And I'm over enunciating that intentionally, because you have to begin with congruence. You must get congruent with everything in your life. Everything in your life. It's unrealistic for you to sit down, start chanting affirmations, and then you know what most people say about, you know, a month later? These don't work. It doesn't work. And then they just put themselves right back into the same cycle. And oftentimes they do that intentionally. A lot of times people want to trap themselves in the it doesn't work cycle, because it means I don't have to look at me. And so congruency begins with the transparent communication between yourself and yourself. It's that ability to look into the mirror of your own soul, to cry whatever tears you need to cry, to forgive whatever you need to forgive, and to get to that base part of your soul that is here to reason. It is here to love. It is here to experience. It is here for all these other experiences of body. And to recognize that everything, literally everything you have ever experienced, conspired to bring you to that moment. So that's step one. That's step number one. Once you get to that step, step number two is you have to start living it. And how you live that is through a very simple technique of gratitude, which I encourage people to grab a pack of sticky notes, put three words on every sticky note, thank you, breathe, and then hide the sticky notes everywhere. I mean, put them under the cereal box top, put them on a paper bill, put it in your wallet, put it everywhere. And then every time you see a sticky note, you bring your hand to your heart, because that sends a physical signal to the body that you're ready, right? And it'll retrain the body. You bring your hand to your heart, you see the sticky note, and you go, thank you. And you don't worry about why you did it. But if you can commit, and I am really serious, if you can commit to one pack of sticky notes, three little words on every one, then hiding every sticky note and really doing it, you will become transparent with yourself, and your body will start learning what it is for gratitude. Then the affirmations work, because you're congruent. And you start realizing that things come in. You know, maybe you go through a stack of mail and you put some sticky notes on it. Maybe one of them is a bill. And before you open that bill, it's, thank you. Ah. And you just allow yourself that opportunity, because to fully bring forth any secret, because all secrets are now available, all the doors are open. But the greatest secret, you know, when they talk about the alchemical transformation of a base metal into gold, what we're really talking about is a heart of flesh into the cosmic heart. When you can alchemically transfer that gift in your own way of being, the universe opens in limitless ways. You're the miracle. You're the abundance maker. You just need to believe it, and you need to own it, and you need to live it. And it is that simple, yet it does demand practice.
And part of being congruent is to stop making demands and start listening a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the guidance is here. And one of the tricks, instead of making a list of all the things you want, would be to clear your mind of all those things and to breathe deeply and relax and simply say, show me what is my highest expression.
And you'll be shown.
And as that picture, as that feeling, as that sense of knowingness comes forward, show me my highest expression, then you know what you're affirming. That's what you took birth for. No more distractions.
That was good. The the 2012 thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to get around to it pretty soon. So let me, there's a couple of preface questions that I've been asking people.
Sure.
The first one is humanity's here.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, I mean, it's no secret, what we have to do to get ourselves to the next point of just evolution and sustainability on the planet.
Right.
You know, in other words, we have to really focus on renewable energy. We have to look at our wasteful habits, and we have to not do that. We have
right.
to come up with alternatives. And there's a lot of talk that maybe this entire socioeconomic consumerism-driven system is going to have to tank in order to for something else to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all talk about it. We all say, yeah, I want to do it. And a lot of people are doing it, but not everybody's doing it.
Right.
No, they still have 401ks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Some of them do.
They still have a few.
Yeah, yeah, the ones that might be left.
But anyway, let's talk about from here
uh-huh.
to there.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going to feel for people? What's it going to be like? Realistically, is it how painful is it going to be? How joyous is it going to be? How much are we going to have to give up? How much are we going to discover? You know, because part of what I'm doing with this piece, obviously with you guys' blessing, is to really make it about this change.
And awesome.
You know, I'm even
awesome.
Thinking about the call it.
Yeah.
And that's what it'll be about. So I've been following this line of questioning with everyone to paint this picture of, you know, where we're going. And so part answering this question is part of, you know, the realism about, you know, where we're going and how we're going there.
I understand.
Excuse me. Boring question.
Yawn. Hardly. Yeah. No, it's a great question. It's a great question.
Well, you know, the question about really birthing the new earth, the new humanity, the new whatever it is, call it a reality, is, I think, the key ingredient is birthing.
Yeah.
If we can take the sense of what that means to give birth, and I only can relate to having witnessed childbirth, and I know that no matter how painful it is, mm-hmm. no matter how challenging it is, there is always a sense of yes around the birth. A sense of yes, welcome. I welcome you. I'm glad you're here. And so I offer that first because how will we birth the new yes?
Mm-hmm.
How will we birth the new collective, some people refer to it as a golden age,
mm-hmm.
and I embrace that. Golden meaning illuminated with light and divine wisdom. That's what I mean by a golden age and how we collectively express that. Are we driving cars? What are they fueled with? That's incidental.
Yeah.
That's incidental. The goldenness is what's primary. And Einstein has a famous quote around that, and that is that solutions are never birthed from the state of consciousness that created the problem. So I don't like to look at the problems that are on our globe. What I like to do is embrace the potential that we can be in an ascended state, and we'll look at everything differently. That these issues out here change in complexion and complexity when we change in here. And so how we do this, how we birth, when you're pregnant, you're pregnant. You're not just a little bit pregnant, you know? And we as a collective, as a human being, as a planet Gaia, we're pregnant with mm-hmm. this new energy. We're pregnant and giving birth to the new era. And we have yet to see the baby.
Well, and, you know, I think it's important to address what it's going to feel like. Because all 6 billion souls on this planet, in every moment, but especially in this moment on the planet, will get exactly what they need so that their soul evolution will be completed and they will be ready for their next journey. Now, what that means is that, and it goes back to everything we've been sharing earlier, as an extraordinary, powerful co-creator, you're already lining up the experiences that you are going to call to yourself as we navigate these times together. Those experiences are already in process. They're already coming forward. You're meeting the people, the alliances, the friendships, the ones that are going away, the ones that are staying, where you live, how you live, the choices you're making financially, how you educate yourself or your children. All of these are guidance from an inner knowing of your soul that's saying, hello, we're almost here. How are you going to navigate that? So as those choices are coming forward for you, and as you're playing those out, we refer to this as a pyramid of spiritual awakening, okay? So if you visualize a pyramid, it has four levels in it. The base level of the pyramid is a level we all play in when we're born. It's called density consciousness. And what you're finding right now is that, especially with the energies of 2012 around us, there's a lot of people who are saying, you know what? Really like density consciousness. I know how to do this. It's very much a me-focused energy, the kind of like the standard old paradigms of materialism and the traditional ways that we've perceived
going
things.
Going back to the good old days.
Right. You know, that kind of model. Okay, that's density consciousness. And so you're going to have a lot of people trenching in. Okay, they've made their choice. God bless, they've made their choice. I'm in here for the long haul. I'm in density consciousness. The second strata, which is actually the most dangerous, forgive me for those who might not want to hear that, is spiritual activism. It's actually the most dangerous. And the reason it's the most dangerous is that while it is an enhanced strata of density consciousness, it definitely births from a me to an us. It still carries with it an us versus us. And so spiritual activism, even though it has the blessing of being from a quote-unquote higher perspective, is actually a very dangerous step. It's been the pervasive energy on our planet for the past 2,000 years. It's what's brought us here, which is the gift of it. However, those who are in spiritual activism right now, what you're seeing in this preparation for this giant leap is that some of the people in spiritual activism are jumping back into density consciousness. Some of the people in spiritual activism are entrenching in. It's going to be an us feeling. And here's the blessing. A lot of them are now lifting into the next level. And the next level is what Sri Ramko was just describing, the ascension awareness level. Meaning when we can lift, because you can't mentalize, you cannot play your way there. You can only lift there through your heart. When we lift into that next strata of ascension awareness, it's kind of like a giant outbreath that goes, oh, aha, I see why all that needed to happen. I see the perfection of all that happening. I understand why all this is happening. There's no judgment around it, nor is there a need to change it. That's spiritual activism. What there is the recognition that I am a participant. I will participate in the way that lifts the energy of myself and those around me without doing anything to interfere with the path of others until they can meet me here or get clear on where they are. And so you're seeing all these crescendos. And then the very top piece is what we call ascension, full-blown ascension consciousness, which is really where there's such a unity, oneness energy with the entire cosmic universe that for most people, we don't have a world that's supporting that 24/7 right now. The gift of these times is post-2012, we will.
Very few people who reach that state really want to stick around because it just isn't real comfortable here in the norm, or wasn't.
And that's the gift, it's getting more comfortable.
Like heaven on earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, together, each and every one of us are creating the environment that is launching this new era.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it either through our denial of it or our active contribution. Because consciousness, especially consciousness in a body, learns through contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're able to see someone who is behaving in a way that hurts our heart, it reminds us of who we are. They give us the gift of recognition,
yes,
of remembrance. And then we must lift beyond our reactivity into ascension awareness, is what we're terming that strata, where we're aware that every being is playing their role. Everything going on is contributing to the collective illumination.
Yeah.
And if you get it a little faster than your neighbor, that's okay.
It's totally cool. And if you get it slower, it's okay.
And if you don't, that's okay.
Exactly.
Because we're in this together.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, the train's arriving at the station at the same time for everyone. So relax. Be in your presence. Enjoy the ride and help each other out.
And so will things be chaotic over the next few years? Will there be destruction? Will there be land changes? Will there be all these other things? The answer is most likely.
Yeah.
That's not the question, though. The question is, where are you in the process? Because every soul will have the exact experience they are meant to have. You know, Sri and I get so many people who write us and call us and say, hey, you guys live in New Mexico, and now you've got a place in Guatemala. Do I need to move there? And, you know, is that where it's going to be safe?
Yeah.
And the answer is, if you trust your own heart and you stay connected, you will be exactly where you need to be in the right time. Trust yourself. Learn to trust your inner guidance, because if not, you're going to get really confused with all the other voices that will tell you what to do. So now is the moment, the divine wake-up call that's saying it's time to trust you.
And the last question, and this is probably redundant at this point.
It's okay.
But, 2012, mm-hmm. moment of radical instantaneous change or gentle signpost marking a path of progression?
It's both.
You know, it's hard for the mind to wrap around the statement that everyone will get what they're wanting, because we think that some people's wants are opposing or in opposition to our wants, and the universe doesn't work that way. We're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
We're in a flow, a quantum flow, where each being can call to them the experience they want. And for one person, and certainly I think if we can look at this at the social kind of emotional level, the language of the child is different than the language of the adult. When we grow up, what is amusing and interesting to us is different than what was amusing or interesting when we were younger. Well, so it is in the ascension process, or as we like to call it, the self-ascension process, because we're choosing to self-ascend. We're not waiting until we transition out of the body to ascend. We're doing it while we're here in a body as a self becoming its selfness in the body. And so what happens is that each being will call to them the quality of experiences that they require to activate their soul agreement. And to the outside person looking in, it may not look like a big thing, but to the one within that holographic reality, it's everything. We all get what we need.
And in getting what we need, yes, there are some who it will be a head-on collision with the energy, literally a head-on mm-hmm. collision with the energy. There are some who transitioning off the planet will be their freedom.
Yes.
And there are others who will go, did something happen?
Where did John go?
Exactly.
John?
What's going on? And truly, and that's part of this process, is that your soul, my soul, all souls are a spark of divine love. And because of that love being infinite in nature, each of us will truly get exactly what we have called forward and what will meet the needs of our soul, so that our evolution will not ever be hampered. No matter what it might appear like while we're in this world of density, the way I like to describe it is this. You and I probably had a conversation earlier this morning in another realm that said, hey, you want to go down to Earth? And we both said, yeah, that would be so cool. And so we jumped down for Earth, and I said, but remember, I'm meeting you for lunch. Because it's just that quick.
Yeah, we were at the Galactic Tourism Board, and we saw the posters on the wall, Earth 2012.
Exactly, exactly. Can I meet you for dinner? Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is. You know that, Ron. I mean, that's really what it is.
And I like to share sometimes that many of us have had that near-death or near-accident experience where we're falling off the bicycle or just in a car wreck, and time is...
You know, that warp?
Is warped and eternal. Perhaps this whole lifetime is that moment.
It's that blink of an eye. This is such a blink of an eye. This is such a blink of an eye. And that's why it's so important for us not to take it too damn seriously.
And not to take it for granted.
Exactly.
This is what we bargained for. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to stop.
Sounds good to us.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron. That was wonderful.
Glad you got it.
Well, I love that you're asking these questions of every